Let's turn again in our Bibles, this time to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount. And as I said before, Jesus is going to be taking the particular commandments and apply them to our hearts in a very piercing and direct way. He's going to remove any thought that the law only applies to the external or only applies to our hand, but it applies to our heart. Last time we saw with our anger that it deals with how we speak. This week we're going to be dealing with lust. So this is Matthew 5. We're going to be starting at verse 27. Matthew 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. And that's as far as reading here in Matthew 5. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these words together. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how is your spiritual walk with Christ going? Specifically, are you continuing to grow in purity, in holiness, in chastity? Although we considered the danger of lust a few weeks ago, in God's providence, Jesus Christ is going to be performing a spiritual checkup again today. So then I ask you, how are things going? Have you seen growth, development, sanctification in the area of sexual purity over these past few weeks and months? Or, if you are not growing in spiritual holiness and purity, are you growing in hardness, in rebellion? Is the law no longer piercing your heart as you are led into hell by your own desires? Well, today we see with the seventh commandment that not only does God call us not to commit adultery, but Jesus Christ is going to apply the law in a sharper and deeper way. If we take this passage from this week, dealing with lust, and next week dealing with divorce, we see that Jesus Christ has a specific concern for marriage. He is going to be protecting marriage, to be sure. But this week, he is going to drive the blade of the law deep into our hearts, exposing the desires of lust that dwell within the heart of all of us. Jesus Christ is going to expose the root that remains hidden from others. In fact, the first sin committed by mankind, or committed by Eve in the garden, was linked to a lusting of the eyes. For Eve looked and saw and desired in her heart. The sin of lust sprang forth from her heart by way of her eyes. What she looked at produced a craving within her. So it is from that particular time that our eyes are the pathway from which desire enters us. Last week, as we considered anger, we saw that our heart, where we allow anger to live in our heart, manifests itself in what we say. Our words display the state of our heart. This week, we are going to see that our desires manifest themselves in how and what we look at. The purity of our hearts is displayed in what we do with our eyes. So this morning we consider this theme. Jesus Christ calls us to radical purity for the sake of our soul and salvation. Jesus Christ calls us to radical purity for the sake of our soul and our salvation. In our first point, then, Jesus once again takes us by the hand and brings us to the law, and he's going to apply the law in a deep and wide way. The law is going to be applied in a deep way in that he is applying it to the heart, and it's going to be applied in a wide way in that the law is applied to all aspects of our lives. There is no area of our life that is not affected by sin, by wrong desires. So the law is deep and it is wide. But the fact is, we are all good at rationalizing and making excuses. We're all good at compartmentalizing. We are good at keeping various aspects of our lives hidden from others. We're good at putting on a show. We put on a mask. We look differently to others. But Jesus Christ is not going to leave any wiggle room. He is going to overturn every stone so that the secret, hidden sins of our heart would be exposed and also put to death. Jesus Christ is exposing our sin so that sin would be put to death. So the commandment under consideration this morning is the seventh commandment: you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says in verse 28, adultery is much more than the actual act. People commit adultery long before they are in bed with someone who is not their spouse. Long before an extramarital affair happens, we are guilty of committing adultery. So Jesus says in verse 28, if you're looking lustfully or with lustful intent, you have already committed adultery. A lustful intent or a lusty look, a look that is wed to desire, to longing, to craving. Jesus is not saying if you're walking down the street and you look at someone and you see someone who is of the opposite spouse, just actually looking at that person is adultery. It is a particular and specific kind of looking. A lustful intent, a desire, a longing. And it is this lingering look, this fantasizing, that is a breaking of God's commandments. Our own Heidelberg Catechism 41 puts it like this. In this particular commandment, the Catechism says, all unchaste actions, looks, talks, thoughts, and desires are all forbidden. So sinful desire, sinful craving, sinful looking, lusting after the body of someone else is adultery in the sight of God. Jesus is not saying that the lusting look leads to adultery. He said the look itself is adultery, just like we saw last week. When you say words of anger, when you curse someone, raka, when you curse your brother, Jesus says you have already murdered them. You've broken the commandment. You've broken the sixth commandment. You've already murdered them by what you've said. Here Jesus says the lustful look is already breaking the seventh commandment. You have already committed adultery. Before you do anything beyond looking, you're an adulterer. Entertaining sinful desires is mental unfaithfulness. That looking lustful craving is adultery in God's sight. So not only is it the root of adultery, it is adultery. What you look at, how you look, what your mind fantasizes about, it's all included in this particular commandment. So committing adultery with your eyes is a violation of the seventh commandment. And it violates the person that you are lusting after. And it violates the person you are married to. Lusting desire of the flesh, craving, fantasizing, thinking about what this person might look like when they're naked, It is a transgression against the one you are lusting after. It is a transgression against your own spouse. And it is a transgression against your own flesh. That's what 1 Corinthians 6 says. Lusting looks, coveting desires, are sinning against your own flesh. Now, our world will tell you it's okay to look as long as you don't touch. Our world will say it doesn't matter where you go in your mind. It doesn't matter how you look at other people as long as you don't actually do anything about it. Jesus is here saying that you are sinning against the one you are lusting after. You are sinning against your spouse, the wife of your youth, and you are sinning against yourself. Your sin is injuring three people. But who is this self? What is this body that you have? Is it not a temple of the Holy Spirit? Is it not that Jesus Christ has purchased your body with his precious blood? So not only are you sinning against the person you are lusting against, not only are you sinning against your spouse, not only are you sinning against yourself, you are sinning against the Holy Spirit who lives within your heart, and you are sinning against Jesus Christ who purchased your body with his precious blood. Do you think it's not a big deal? We are so good at rationalizing it. If Jesus is doing anything today, he's saying, wake up. This sin is not a small matter. You need to see this. You need to deal with this. Because not only is it a sin against the Holy Spirit and a sin against Jesus Christ who's purchased you with his blood, it is actually idolatry. Adultery is a sin of idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is having or inventing something in which you trust, something in which you look to, something in which you hope will give you comfort and meaning and purpose and peace. Adultery pushes God out of your heart and puts sinful desires in its place. Lust is loving the flesh and the pleasures of sexual intimacy more than God. Ephesians 2 verse 3, we once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and mind. We once lived that way. Outside of Christ, that's how we live. That's what we lived for. But no longer. When you become a Christian, the throne of your heart is reserved for God and God alone. So when it comes to looks and lusting desire, there is no such thing as a harmless look. To be clear, pornography is never an acceptable part of the Christian life. Period. Exclamation point. It doesn't belong. There is no such thing as acceptable pornography for a Christian. For example, would you be ashamed if your spouse or your parent was able to see everything that you've looked at in your browsing history? Would they take offense to the images that you have viewed? Well, the fact is, brothers and sisters, God does see and God knows. He sees what you are looking at. You live in his presence all day long. God has called us out of that kind of lifestyle. Being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ means we are pure, we are holy, we are clean in Jesus Christ. And that fact changes how we live and what we look at. Well, now that we've considered the serious nature of this sin, that the lusting desire is adultery, in our second point, Jesus pushes forward to impress upon us how radical we must be in our pursuit of this purity. God's people are to be pure in look, in mind, and in flesh. So Jesus says in verse 26, or 29, if your eye causes you to sin, your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, I want you to cut your hand off and throw it away. We can't miss the point of what Jesus is saying here. If your eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. The eye is the place where lust enters the mind. If your hand causes you to sin, cut off your hand. The hand is the member of the body that touches a forbidden woman. Sin is so serious, so dangerous, that we would rather pluck out our right eye or cut off our own hand than to fall into this sin. Sinful lust is like a viper that refuses to be charmed. As soon as you think you have mastered it, it will strike you and fill you with its poison. Just as we saw last week, the tongue that is filled with angry speech is set on fire with the fire of hell itself. So a body filled with lusty desires is a body set on fire with the flame of hell itself. It will destroy you, it will consume you, and it will burn down everything and everyone in your context. Now we need to be very clear here. Is Jesus actually telling us to go home, take out a knife and cut off our hand? Is that what Jesus is saying? We have to remember that when it comes to sin, it comes from our hearts. It comes from our brains, our minds. Jesus is not telling us to go home and take surgical instruments and begin cutting out our brains because sin comes from our brains, or cut out our heart. Jesus is not saying you need to actually literally physically cut out your eye or cut off your hand. But what he is saying is that you must be so committed to holiness that you will do anything and everything to avoid this sin. He's not saying mutilate your body, but rather a radical, wholehearted obedience is necessary in order for you to protect your heart. You must defend your heart even at great personal cost, at great personal pain. Sanctification is painful. The pursuit of purity is painful. Jesus is emphasizing the serious nature of the spiritual battle in which we are all engaged. Unfortunately, we play around with sin as if it's not a big deal. But sexual temptation is the chain that has pulled many professing Christians into destruction. How many lives have not been destroyed by unchecked and unrestrained desires? So if you know where temptation is coming from and you keep going back to that same place, you're not really serious about purity. It's like someone who is addicted to gambling, spends every weekend at the casino. You're not really serious about stopping gambling. You're going to a casino. You're not serious about this. Don't pretend. So it is for a Christian. We say we're pure, but what have we stopped doing in order to pursue purity? Have you changed anything? Have you stopped doing anything to be pure? Have you plucked out your eye yet? Have you cut off your hand? Now I imagine if you're thinking right now, where does sexual temptation come from? You could probably list two or three things, areas where sexual temptation comes from. Are you going to go back to it tomorrow, like a dog returning to its vomit? Are you serious? Jesus says, I am stone cold, dead serious here. Cut out your eye. Be pure. Radical obedience, radical self-denial. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 6. I have learned mastery over my own body. So then, brothers and sisters, which websites do you need to avoid? Whose company do you need to avoid? Obedience calls us to cut off the course and source of temptation, like Joseph fleeing from the presence of temptation. So we must put to death those desires when they come from within us. Don't feed those desires. Don't give any quarter to those desires. Put safeguards in your life. Shield your eyes and guard your heart. Avert your gaze and meditate upon the purity of holiness. There's no room for negotiation here. If you view others as brothers and sisters, fellow human beings created in the image of God, not as objects to be lusted after and craved, viewing others not like a piece of meat or a play toy used to satisfy the desires of your flesh. On our third point, Jesus then moves beyond pointing to the serious nature of this temptation to how his way is the better way. In verse 30, Jesus puts it like this. Would you rather lose, I'm going to put it in a question form, would you rather lose a member of your body or would you rather be sent to hell? You get to choose here. I put before you this choice. Would you rather lose a hand or lose an eye and go to heaven? Or would you rather keep your hand and keep your eye and have your whole body sent to hell? Choose this day. You make the choice. Which one would you rather have? Jesus is putting this before us. The broad, easy path, keep your hand, keep your eye, keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about sexual sins and temptation. Give no thought to where the broad, easy path leads, or the narrow, hard way. Choose this day. Will you let your body and your desires run wild? Will you offer your body to the consuming flame of sexual desires that lead to eternal flames in hell? Self-discipline manifested in self-control. It's better to put to death a member of your body than to have your whole body put to death in hell. That's what Jesus is saying. You have to make the choice here. Which one do you think is better? Now, brothers and sisters, this is where we need to trust Jesus. This is where we need to trust Jesus because Jesus knows the better way. He knows which way is better for you. We need to embrace Jesus' teaching with a heart of faith. Jesus is not some killjoy here. Jesus is saying you can't enjoy the blessings of this life. God made sexual desire and pleasure. This is a God-given gift. Jesus is saying, my way leads to true happiness and peace. Jesus has your good, your joy, your delight in mind. Jesus is not a prude taking away all happiness. Jesus is saying to you, sinful lusting will destroy joy, happiness, and contentment, and it will destroy your marriage as well. I'm telling you as it is. It's for your good, brothers and sisters, that you put these things out of your life. For your earthly good and for your eternal good. Although the devil promises a life of pleasure through lust, it only leads to slavery and loss of enjoyment. Like all addictions, it promises pleasure but delivers only pain. Jesus has your eternal good in mind. He knows which is better and which way is better for you. He knows what kind of life holds the most blessings today and tomorrow. Is it not better to, through self-denial, cut a member of your body off and enjoy heaven? He's looking out for you, and he's telling you as it is. The end result of lust is slavery and destruction. Because, brothers and sisters, sexual sins harden the heart. Pornography not only stains the flesh, but it dims the eye to all other godly pleasures. Like all addiction, lust makes it difficult to repent as we build defenses to keep our heart free from self-examination. We make excuses and we hide away in our sins. Habitual sins harden the conscience. Jesus is trying to wake us up this morning. He is shaking us. You need to wake up to the seriousness of sexual sins. Lust destroys marriages and it hardens hearts. Lust poisons what God made sweet and pollutes what God made good. So as 1 Peter 2 puts it, abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Did you catch that, brothers and sisters? The passions of the flesh wage war against your, not your body, wage war against your soul. Lust is a spiritual battle. Waging war against your soul. So will the lusty look be your master? Will adultery and idolatry rule your heart? As we read in 1 John 2, these desires of the flesh and desires of the eye are not from the Father, but they are from the world. Purity is a must for God's people. Lose an eye, save your soul. Job 31, make a covenant with your eye, not to look lustfully at a maiden. The development of lust is clear. Lust enters the mind by way of the eye. Lust turns good God-given desires into illicit, sinful cravings. Lust is adultery and it leads to death. Like a bird in the snare, a foolish man is caught and destroyed. This is from Proverbs 6 and 7. Proverbs 6 and 7. He who commits adultery lacks sense. For he who commits adultery destroys himself. My son, listen to my words. Treasure my commandments. Keep your eyes from lust and your hand from adultery. Keep your life from the forbidden woman, because her house leads to death. Rather, pursue purity with all your heart, because our God is a holy God. To conclude, Jesus is warning us again today about the dangers of lust and adultery. It's part of the larger topic in the Sermon on the Mount dealing with marriage. Marriage is designed to be a blessing of companionship rooted in faithfulness, a lifelong commitment to having not only hands, but hearts and eyes reserved for one another in the context of the covenant of marriage. So as our theme states, Jesus Christ calls us to radical purity for the sake of our souls and our salvation. So may we all learn to guard our hearts. May it be our prayer. Lord, keep me pure. Keep me from temptation. Deliver me from sin. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And once again, O Lord, we stand humbled before you as we acknowledge the serious nature of sin and how far too often we think little and we're not willing to really sacrifice anything for the sake of purity? We pray that your Spirit would once again fan into flame the desires of our heart today, that we would be a pure, holy, chaste people, whether single or married, that we would live a life that reflects your nature, that you are a holy God. May we be pure people, O Lord, and may we trust that you have our best interest in mind, the way of life, blessing, and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.